This is another Red FM podcast. And remember, if you enjoyed this episode, for more podcasts, check out redextra.ie. It's full of great Red FM content.
Hello and welcome to The Life Hustle. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Emer and this is episode 25 and it's all about supporting local. It's something I have spoken in previous episodes about, feeling extremely passionate about it. As somebody who owned my own business for many years, there is nothing that compares to when people book you, use your services, your products, and when people support you. And supporting local has never been so important as it is lately, given everything that has happened globally and how our economies are changing. There is an old saying, and it really resonates with me, but when you buy from a small business, you are not helping a CEO buy a third vacation home. You're helping a little girl get dance lessons, a boy get his team jersey, a mom put food on the table, a dad pay for a mortgage, or a student pay for college. And that is so true now. With that quote, I don't know why the mom isn't paying for the mortgage, but this isn't a podcast about sexism or anything. However, I have always been very passionate about supporting local, keeping money in the local economy. And as part in this podcast, it's part three of our food focus with the gorgeous Clara Cooks. Hi, Clara.
Hi. Great to be back. How are you, Emer?
Great, very good. I'm really, really delighted that you were passionate about the support local angle. I think it's something that has never been more relevant and never been more important to do. And I really want to get down to the nitty-gritty with you about how I and how listeners can maybe, you know, when spending money, how can we spend it local to keep people in jobs, to keep businesses open through food?
Yeah, absolutely, Emer. And I think, you know, remember on our first episode, we talked about in an earlier podcast that my own great grandfather supplying organic vegetables to local community. And back then, I suppose there wasn't actually any of the large supermarket chains that we have now.
True.
But, you know, in recent times, there's pretty much a supermarket in every single town, or at least anyway, a short driving distance from a town. So, yes. You know, don't get me wrong. We need our supermarkets and I value them. And I actually do like the fact that a lot of our supermarkets now are also supporting Irish produce. So you do see that happening across our supermarkets as well.
Yes.
But like for me, when I look at it, I mean, for years throughout my own childhood and definitely in my adult life and especially back in Cork, you know, I've definitely been looking at supporting local suppliers. So we've a number of resources that are on our doorstep here in Cork. We're just so very, very lucky, you know, and it takes consumers away from the large retailers and introduces them to people doing business in their own towns.
Yes.
So as you said earlier, like when you purchase, you know, from a locally owned business rather than nationally owned or globally owned or a big corporate, the money is actually kept within the community because locally owned businesses often purchase from other local businesses as well, service providers, farms, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I know we're talking really just about food today as well. So the supplier you go to and a lot of the suppliers that I will go to, it's actually helping grow other businesses as well. So, you know, I love doing that. I love going into my suppliers and they talk to me about where their produce has come from. They talk to me about the farmers that they're actually working with. And that just makes me feel really good about actually buying from them as well.
I really do think that people at the moment have never been more inquisitive about where the food in their plate has come from. You know, it's just something that I think people are getting a much better awareness of. I mean, we through a busy life have become, you know, this kind of autopilot generation where life is extremely busy and we often look for the shortcuts because we have to. It's the only option we have.
I know.
This whole lockdown for me has made me look at, you know, how did my mum cook? How did my grandparents cook? And go back to basics and simplify everything. And shopping even has changed for me. I'm shopping local. I'm getting things to the door that I have never ordered before. And there is a feel-good factor in buying local, isn't there?
Oh, amazing. I mean, look, buying local, it's got more benefits beyond mere convenience. You know, when you support local business owners, you're getting a better level of service. Mm. They kind of get to know you. They know what products you buy regularly, as well as helping make your community a better place to live in as well. So, you know, this is in addition to the health benefits and access to unique products as well that we usually can't find within, I suppose, the bigger chain supermarkets that we actually go out to. But
that's a great
I love the fact that you personally know the people behind the business. I mean, I love going into the English market and they know me and I know them and we have a great laugh and a chat. And I remember when I lived in London, actually, I used to go to these markets and do you know that old market trader kind of thing? I think back years ago, they used to have it down in the Colquay in Cork, but that real kind of, you know, how are you? How's it going?
And haggling for your goods.
Haggling, yeah. And the chats and the laughs. And anyway, I love it. But there's still an element to that, you know. So so I think Cork in particular, it has a wonderful community where, you know, we as Cork people, we celebrate when a local business succeeds. And in turn, you know, we know as well that if a local business actually closed down, we kind of mourn the loss with them. It's like a, you know, it's a personal investment. It isn't quite as present when a chain business closes. Like if a supermarket closed down the road, you'd be going, oh, that's inconvenient for me, but I'm going to have to drive another 10 kilometers to go to the next supermarket or whatever. But
that's
you feel a very different, I suppose, disappointment when smaller businesses close down, you know, the people that you know, the local suppliers. So on top of this, for me, Eimear, I love that I know exactly where my food has come from. The suppliers that I use, they talk to me about the farmers they get the produce from. And sometimes I'm also dealing directly with those farmers as well. And it's just a really nice feeling. I love cooking with food that I know has come from a good local source. It makes the cooking experience for me very satisfying. And I think, you know, when you're in a kitchen and you've got this gorgeous fresh produce in front of you, you just treat it with a lot of love. And your food, it's true, the more love you put into your cooking, you know, your food is actually going to taste really good at the end of the day. So
I agree. I always feel like I'm more invested in the food when, you know, I think about it more. I think about what I'm going to make, what I'm going to do with it, when it's something that I've bought from a local supplier. Like, I love that you said that about, you know, the suppliers talk to you about the farms where they get their produce from. I work in the city centre a couple of days a week, and when I'm in there, I always go into the English market because
I know,
I love how they're educators as well. Like, you know, if I go to the chicken stand, I go to O'Sullivan's, I go to O'Mahony's, they educate me. Like, I love asking them about the pieces, the joints, the cuts. You know, it's information that has, for me, died off with other generations now that I can't access. So they're my key to improving, you know, the dinners that I put on the table. And that's what I love about shopping in the market, actually, as well.
Yeah. And you're never going to get that, you know, you go to a supermarket and it's on the shelf, so there's no one there to tell you about it. If we think about it, right, the English market, it's been around for a very long time. It opened in 1788. Can you believe that? I mean, it's around that time. So the history actually that lies within the English market, it's just unbelievable. They've been there through the famine, through the floods, through war, multiple recessions. And, you know, many of the English market traders, they still continue to trade there. And it's definitely almost certain that this, what's happening now in our global pandemic, will soon be added to the list of triumphant battles, as they say, you know, from
and you
historic
know
times.
I was there on Monday and it just gave me joy, pure joy to see the queue outside there. And there was people of all nationalities when I walked past the queue, and it was just lovely to see it. It just brings people together and to see it's such a lovely service in the heart of our city. It's fantastic.
It's so great. I love going into the market. I love talking to the suppliers. You know, you'd be having the chats, you have the laughs.
Yeah.
That's what food shopping should be all about. It's the personal touch that you get. Many of food entrepreneurs and family businesses within the English market have stepped up in the recent challenges by diversifying and adapting to, you know, from the traditional approach that they're used to help support communities as well. And keep the supply chains moving and ensure the viable continuity of the businesses are there. Because for them, I suppose, we weren't allowed to kind of, well, it's not that we weren't allowed, but we kind of were put on a standstill about what we were going to be doing, how we were going to be able to shop. And so many of them have introduced new ways of shopping. They're doing the home deliveries, the click and collect services to support their customers who, you know, there's probably quite a lot of customers who are unable to visit the market. Definitely, I think it's easing off, so that's good. There's a lot more people going into the market. But, you know, if we look back even 2 months ago, Eimear, there wasn't many people going in. And so many of the traders just went, right, I still want to make sure my customers get what they need. And it wasn't, you know, it was about actually supplying to the community. And it was just unbelievable to watch it.
And to see them adapt, like for small family businesses to take on that challenge of adapting in tough times, but to come out the other side, it's very uplifting.
It's so uplifting. I mean, look, you can still go in, and I've definitely seen an increase, as I said, in customers as the weeks go by, which is fantastic to see. They have the social distancing in place, they have the safety and security measures in place at the moment. The market is there and it's open, but it's there to make sure that the shoppers and traders feel safe at the same time. So some traders definitely they had temporarily closed, but they're all reopening, which is brilliant to see as well. The smaller businesses that were there. So some of the traders' hours changed a little bit, and they're having a little bit of a work-life balance as well, but they're still providing a full supply of very best local foods. So you can still get your freshly caught local fish, you can get your fresh fruit and vegetables, local farm-reared meat and poultry, freshly made breads. I mean, you can get all our gorgeous cheeses, even wine is in there, Eimear. And
I love the way you say wine is in there, Eimear, because it may be a known fact that I do partake in the odd glass of wine.
Nothing, no.
That's something the lockdown definitely isn't helping.
I know, and actually I go to the Wine Buff in Oliver Plunkett Street. They're just at the side entrance of the market, and they're doing deliveries as well at the moment.
Don't tell me that.
Right, there you go now. There's a new one for you to order from. Anyone can go onto the website and they can give you the exact information on every trader and what they're doing, what kind of services they're doing, if they're doing delivery and click and collect service. And that's on the corkcity.ie website, and then you just search for the English market. And they've all the contact details as well, if you just want to give them a buzz and have a chat with them. So
that's such a great resource, and to have the one landing, you know, to have the one landing page where all of the services are listed and you can see what everyone offers. That's really useful. I actually didn't realize that. So that's corkcity.ie, and you click on the English market.
Corkcity.ie / EN / English market is the exact one that will bring you there. But that is basically will tell you the list of every single trader and what they're doing right now, who's open, and I think they're all open, to be quite honest, and then the services that they're providing as well. So
fantastic,
which is great.
Brilliant. Yeah. So, and this kind of brings me nicely into somebody else that I really admire from a business perspective as well as food. He is somebody that I had on the podcast, I think it's episode 6, way back over a year ago. And it's Jack Crotty, the Rocket Man. We spoke to him. The episode actually is on, it's on Spotify and it's on Red Extra and it's on iTunes as well. And it's a lovely chat about, the importance of, you know, using local suppliers. And at the time, Jack had set up Neighbour Food, and I was a big fan of it. Yeah. And I just think this whole lockdown has taken Neighbour Food to another level. It's never been so, it's gone from, you know, a service where you could pre-order from an array of different vendors and collect at his different collection points, as something for me that was, you know, a nice luxury trip once a week. I'd go in and I'd collect all my lovely produce, but it's become a necessity now in so many localities. So you've done a little bit of background research on that.
Yeah. Oh, I think Jack's amazing. I mean, he did Ballymaloe actually as well, and then he opened up Rocketman while he was still doing Ballymaloe. And and his mom Simone's amazing as well, you know, she's heart and soul of the business as well. And I remember when they started Neighbour Food Market, and you could collect it up there in Cork from the Apple Market in Barrack Street.
That's right.
And they were just kind of testing the market, I suppose, really, and seeing what it was going to be like. And now they have 41 collection points in Ireland. So they have like Cork, Dublin, Limerick, Ennis, Galway, Wexford, Kerry, many more. But you can go onto their website, you just select kind of your location where you are in the map, and it brings up kind of all the different collection points. You pick the market that's local to you, and then you join. So you have to join that market, you know, and once you join that market, you get
you get an email
of when the market opens, right? So basically they open it on a day, and then it closes on a day, because it has to give the suppliers time and the producers time to actually bring the goods to that collection point. So you get an open date and you go and book it in, and it gives you a list of all the suppliers in your area that are supplying food. So all the farmers, all the different meat, fish, fruit, veg, flowers. There's so much there. It's unbelievable.
Chocolate, and there's gorgeous treats and cakes and everything. It's outstanding.
Exactly. And Emma, you can also get your wine on there now.
You can. I have tried and tested it, girlfriend.
So once you sign up, that's it. You're kind of getting your weekly emails and stuff like that. But I just think it's just a genius way of allowing people to have access to local suppliers all at one time without having to go to any shops or stores.
Yes.
A lot of the English market is on there as well. So that's good.
And another thing that I loved was the fact that it was a social, every time I went to do my pickup, it was a lovely social experience where some of the traders would be there and the suppliers would be there, and I'd get to talk to them about the products that I was buying, and you know, they'd be sampling different things. There was music there sometimes. Anytime I bought the kids, the suppliers were giving the kids samples. It was just a joy to be there.
It is a joy, and absolutely. Now, they've changed it a little bit, as in the producers and suppliers have to have it all dropped off to each one, I think about 2 hours beforehand before collections are, because there's no contact, I suppose, really at the moment.
Yes.
But they're also after bringing in deliveries, and all the people who are doing deliveries, by the way, are all volunteering their time. It's amazing. So yeah. They've all just said, I want to help. So there's a lot of people who might be cocooning or just not able to come into the collections, and the deliveries are being made. So that's lovely to see as well. So I think if you want, it takes you a little bit of time to go through the website, and if you're okay online, or get one of your family members if you're not very, you know, into the technical side of things, but it is such a lovely way to, you know, support your local businesses as well. But there's all, you know, I suppose, Emer as well, there's loads of other people doing things. I mean, there's some suppliers doing, I think you get a fruit and veg box as well. Do you get a fruit and veg box?
I do.
The two things I've started doing that I didn't do before during pre-COVID-19 was I get a delivery from Bresnan's to the door of my meat and quite a bit of fruit as well from there, and then I get a delivery, I order on the Garden Goodness website as well, and they deliver a fruit and veg box. But we are spoiled for choice with fruit and veg deliveries on our doorstep in Cork.
Spoiled for choice. I was actually talking to Barry Sweetenham, he's the managing director of Allfresh, and they used to just do wholesale. He actually started his business 25 years ago as a greengrocer, the days of the greengrocers in Mountain. And then their wholesale business just grew. And so he was supplying all the restaurants and hotels, really, really busy. You know, and I suppose them plus many more, they're just not able to supply. And there's no restaurants and there's no hotels open at the moment. So they had to look at, what are we going to do now? So Barra basically decided, okay, let's look at starting home deliveries for people. So they deliver all over Cork County. They deliver Monday, Wednesdays and Fridays. I think you just have to email them the day before to get your order ready for you. And then they'll call back and get your credit card payments for you. So there's no contact needed on delivery at all. Brilliant. You can actually also go and collect from them, and you get 10% discount if you do collection because of no delivery costs. But do you know what I loved about what they were doing as well? So they're doing this thing that every week they put a 50 euro note into a random delivery box to surprise somebody. Isn't
you
that so lovely?
You are kidding me. I love that pay it forward kind of like just surprise giving. That is absolutely delightful.
So nice. And then they also, so instead of throwing out the food, right, they said, okay, we need to be able to make sure that food is going somewhere that's going to be used. So Barry's using, like, giving it to loads of charities. So he gives any of the food that's not ordered and that's fresh and not being used, he gives it to Penny Diners, Penny Dinners, sorry, it is, isn't it? Meals and Wheels, Mercy Hospital, frontline staff. He does loads of stuff just to make sure, and, you know, anything that's not being used is being given away. That's and I think incredible. It's just,
you know what, again, you don't get that from the big huge chain stores or the supermarkets. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why you're not just investing a few bob by, you know, I don't think we realize the impact we can have if we spend even, you know, I know the people have lost jobs or people are temporarily laid off or on the COVID payment, but even if it's a small spend every week that you spend locally, collectively, if we all did that, we would keep businesses going, you know, keep people in jobs when this is all over. That's incredible.
Yeah, it is. And they've just actually started partnering. Do you go to Loving Salads at all in town in Academy Street?
I do. I love it. I adore it. Yeah.
They've just started partnering with them now and they're supplying all the fruit and veg to them, and Loving Salads are doing deliveries, collections, doing their markets again. So it's great now that they're actually helping another business reopen its doors. So that's lovely to see.
So another aspect, you know, that I've missed now the last couple of weeks, and probably just because it's so close to where I live, but I love the community aspect as well as the supporting local of the Mahon Point market. You know, having a local market like that, that I can say to the girls, let's meet up there on Thursday morning. I really do miss that community spirit at the moment.
I know. And it was so good to see. Actually, all our markets are opening up in Cork, which is brilliant. So,
Mahon opened again. Fantastic.
Yes, Mahon opened last Thursday.
Brilliant.
It was so good to hear it. Douglas on the Saturday, Middleton on the Saturday. All the West Cork ones are reopening again. So, your Clonakilty, your Bandon, everything. So it was brilliant. But I went up to Mahon to and I was talking to Rupert, who runs both Mahon and Douglas Market.
Okay.
And he was kind of saying it was a bit like day one all over again, because you need a full redesign of what it's going to look like, just to ensure the health and safety of the customers, that they feel comfortable, and also the traders, you know.
You know, like, I've massive respect to business owners who are adapting in these times, because that costs money and time, you know, to rejig their whole setup. I mean, that's a big deal for them to do.
But you know what, Eimear? I'm telling you something. It was lovely up there, awesome. Right? So, so they're out in the plaza, and then, you know, well, at the moment, you see, because most of Mahon is shut and it's closed, there's loads of parking, right? So across the road, you know, if you go across the zebra crossing into the car park there, not the undercover car park, but the actual outside car park from the plaza, they've actually taken up all of that as well, the first part of that. So they've spread them out. So I suppose each stall is probably kind of 5 meters apart. So you enter in from that way, from the outside car park. There's a one-way system. You go in one way and out the other way. You walk through. All your suppliers are there on each side. There's kind of like marks, X's outside each supplier kind of stall, and you basically just, the 2 meter apart, you stand there, whatever, waiting for your stuff. Everyone's really respectful of each other's space. There is no feeling of, I suppose, tension or anxiety or anything like that. It's just lovely in there. It's really nice. It's just lovely to see all the traders again. So they had about 35 traders come back.
That's pretty decent.
Yeah. And they're going to be bringing the rest of them back over the coming weeks and stuff like that. So, and as well, there's so much parking there as well. It's not hard to get a parking. So look, there are a few things that have changed. So, as you said, you loved going there, socially meeting people. there's no tables and chairs anymore set up for socializing, right? It's not that kind of a market right now, but you can go in, you can see the traders. I had great laughs with them all, I had great chats with them all. You move through, you get your stuff, you get your goods, and you go home. I was laughing actually, Emer, because the coffee roasters had a bigger queue than the actual queue to the entrance of the market. So everybody was still queuing up. Now they're not taking, you know, the way you'd bring your own cups a lot of the time. They're not taking that. They're just giving out the disposables. But sure. Look, the shield up everywhere. You feel really comfortable. It was so lovely to see everybody. I actually really enjoyed it. You know, it's not the usual hour and a half that I'd normally spend at the market, but
good on each and every trader and Rupert and all the team for, again, adapting in the circumstances and the situation that we're in, adapting and still making it happen, you know, overcoming the hurdles and making it happen.
Yeah. And I have to say now, Rupert and all the security team, there were so many people there advising customers, helping them, answering their questions. They all had the yellow jackets on. So, you know, nobody felt uncomfortable because there, you know, there was all different age groups and there was a few of the elderly people coming back in and they were made feel so welcome and so at ease. So, look, I'm just thrilled back open. It was so lovely to see all the familiar faces again and Douglas as well. Yeah, they're not going to have every trader back.
Okay.
But over the coming weeks, that will happen. So they have a smaller space to deal with there outside of the Douglas Shopping Centre. Exactly. But they're going to be all on the outskirts. But
Actually didn't realise that they were going to be back because that's actually the closest one to me. So yay. Oh, that's
good. There you go. And Middleton's back as well. So look, I just think go and suss it out. Go and go down and just get a few little bits and get a feel for the place. It's so lovely just to support our local suppliers, our local producers. You know, these are the guys who've been out of work for quite a long time. You know, we're talking 2 or 3 months now at this stage. So it's just get down and support them. Yeah,
it is. And there's another side to the food industry as well. I feel like having talked to a few friends of mine that run restaurants and bars in the city centre, it's a really tough time for them because they still don't know how it's going to look. You know, for a lot of businesses, they have they have their place in whatever phase they can reopen. They know what it's going to look like. But I think the restaurants and bars, it's a very, very tough call for them. Financially, is it viable for them? Now, having said that, they too have adapted. I have gotten so many lovely meals here at home, you know, the takeout meals from those. So, I mean, how is that going to be affected and how can we support them more, Clara?
Look, it's definitely a challenging time for the hospitality industry. There's no way about it. There, you know, one thing I suppose for me as well is like I really miss sitting with my friends, having gorgeous food, catching up, being in that atmosphere of a cafe or a restaurant. It's just you really do miss that connection, you know. And I think that's what bars, restaurants, cafes are all about. It's about connecting people and connecting people to the food as well. I dropped in there actually just during the week to filter coffee. He's reopened, but with a hatch at the door. He's redesigned the whole coffee shop so that basically everything is out near the door now. They've built new shelves and everything, a new till, brought the whole coffee machine out. But you can still get your coffees. There's like, it's a lovely atmosphere.
I love my little stroll along George's Quay and up to Filter. Another place I love going is Three Fools because I work a lot
with that trade.
And actually they saved my marriage because our coffee, my coffee maker broke. And even though we have a coffee machine, I'm not a big fan of the pods. I just prefer I love the process of making my own coffee. So right in the middle of it, they had just opened like that now with the hatch at Three Fools. And I was able to order a moka pot. And I was actually, I'm telling you, it saved my marriage.
maybe you should start marriage counselling. That could be a new business for you, Emer. For coffee. Yeah, exactly. But I loved it. I just got my takeaway coffee and then I also got my bag of coffee to take away as well home with me and just to have my fresh coffee here at home as well. So it's great. So, you know, look, yes, everyone's doing things. They're doing things differently. They're trying to look at what does it look like now for us. I don't think there's any point. Yes, they're all planning on what it's going to look like down the line, but it's going to be different, Eimear. We all have to understand that. It's hard for any of us to know what that's going to look like in the near future. But right now, there's definitely ways that we can support the cafes and the restaurants in our area. Like, so you can start seeing the cafes are starting to open for, you know, come in and get your takeaways and stuff like that. And there's some great restaurants doing in the city, doing like takeaway restaurant food. So they, my sister there and her hubby, they got a takeaway from the Glass Curtain, and their actually yearly anniversary was only a month ago. And
you know, it's actually funny you mentioned the Glass Curtain, because my brother-in-law, while we're chatting on Zoom here, my brother-in-law sent me a picture. Martin, hi to Martin and Ruth. They just sent me a picture of cocktails and food from the Glass Curtain. They're having a gorgeous kind of date night in.
So they basically, right, so they set up your food for you. Now you have to kind of do some cooking at home, right? So yeah, they give you your instructions, what you to do, and a lot, you know, some of it is pre-cooked. You might have to put something into the oven, or you might have to put something into a pan, but you can also buy your cocktails, and then they tell you how to shake it, get your ice, your limes, whatever. And then also on their Instagram pages, they show you every day how to do things. So I think they're doing it just at weekends. I don't know exactly the days, but it's not every day anyway. Greens are doing it.
That's fun.
As well.
That's really fun.
Fun, exactly. Greens are doing it. Cask is doing something. Joe's and Bros, they're doing their takeaway brunch specials, which looks fab as well. West Cork Burgers, you can get your box of burger, you cook it all at home, but everything is there for you. Good Day Deli, and I used to love going to Good Day Deli. They do delicious foods, salads, fruits, breads, cakes, all that. And you also get a bottle of natural wine. They kind of do this like big large platter for 2 to 4 people.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, they do. So you get a natural bottle of wine, you get loads of goodies to kind of tapas and stuff like that, a couple of desserts and stuff. And they say 2 to 4 people. Now, for me, it's definitely 4 people, or else it will last a couple of whole weekends, but not the wine. But
wow. No, the wine certainly not.
And it's a natural bottle of wine as well, which is gorgeous. But, you know, I suppose besides the city, Eimear, in every town, there's local restaurants offering different collection services. You've got Cronin's in Crosshaven. They've opened up now. You order by Tuesday, you collect on Thursday. It's the same kind of thing, your pre-collected meals and stuff like that. My mum and my sister, they're ordering from Napoli in Monkstown all the time. It's an order. Oh my God, the most delicious.
Incredible.
I mean, the most delicious lasagnas you can ever eat. They're divine.
It's and, just so authentic, isn't it?
Well, Antonio makes it everything from fresh. Now, I did see actually yesterday he'd opened a hatch on the again at the door, so he's doing his coffees and stuff like that as well, and he's taking orders. So that's great. And all you have to do is take that home and put it into the oven for 20 minutes, which is fab. Eco's and Douglas, Palmento, they're doing takeaways and deliveries. You know, a lot more people. I think the thing is that no matter where you are, what town you're in, just have a look around to see, are my cafes and restaurants doing something that I could support them with? Even if it's like once every 2 weeks, or go and support them and get a, you know, it's not even a takeaway. What are they calling them? Fakeaways or something
fake-aways,
like that.
Fakeaways, yeah.
Brilliant. They're kind of fakeaways, but not takeaways. But anyway, but, you know, go and support them. And I mean, look, there's a million businesses, again, you could mention on this, but you have to go out into your own locality and go and support the small businesses. We want to try to, I suppose, ensure that we can help in any way to get our economy back on track and help those amazing suppliers and producers get their doors open. And remember, when you're supporting a local cafe and restaurant, you're also supporting the suppliers and the producers who give the food to these people. So it's not just that restaurant. So I think, you know, I mean, if we want to look at a message of this, you know, forget about, you know, just about, it's not just about what we're going through at the moment. It's about all the time. It should be like this. We should be always looking at you know, the effect that we have on local suppliers, whether it's the butchers, the local shops, the local cafes, the local restaurants, the local fruit and veg. You're not just supporting that business, you're supporting the people who actually give the produce to that business. So, and it has a trip, I suppose, the effect on the rest of the economy as well. So
it is. I mean, the feel good factor from the creating jobs, keeping money in the local economy, you're investing in entrepreneurs. It nurtures a sense of community. You're supporting the environment by reducing waste and conserving energy. Yeah. It's endless. And there is such a feel good factor to it.
Yeah, there is a really good feel good factor. And as I said, just that connection you have with those people as well is fantastic. So I think now more than ever, I know you do it, Emer. I do it. I know a lot of my friends and family are doing it. And just get out there, find out who's doing what, and let's just really look at supporting our local small businesses to get back on track.
Clara, you're so knowledgeable about the industry and about food, and I can just, again, in every episode, I can just hear the joy in your voice. You're just so into it, and it's lovely to talk to you and to get these little tips. Even when we've been talking now for the last three episodes, if people haven't heard the previous two episodes, we have a Kitchen Essentials one, and we've one called A Leap of Faith about how Clara left her high-flying job and moved into the food industry. And I mean, if listening to those three episodes doesn't show that you made the right move, I don't know what does. But it's just lovely to talk to somebody who's so into what they do and who can educate us about it. So, I mean, I've been taking notes on every episode. I'm like, my little homework when I finish the episode. But it's lovely,
I think you've been amazing as well to talk to about as well, because you're very passionate about it as well. And the passion for me has been there pretty much throughout my whole life. It's just got deeper and deeper as I kind of go on, and especially now that I've changed career and this is exactly what I want to do. I just want to help people to understand what's out there and what we can do. So
and you know what, food brings us together through centuries, generations. It connects us all to each other, and food for me is a silver lining in my everyday, not just in the lockdown. It's just, food is what we look forward to every meal, and we're so privileged and so lucky, and it's just great to revisit how we do food, how we cook, how we buy, how we support locals. So thank you so much for everything for the last three episodes. And how can people follow you, just for people who want to find you online or who might want to book you when it's safe to do so soon to come and cook in their house?
Well, people can email me with any queries just to claracooks@outlook.com. I'm happy to help in any way, shape or form for anyone who has any questions about food or about suppliers, etc. I'm on Instagram, Clara Cooks, and I'm also on Facebook as well, Clara Cooks. So just look out for me, throw me any questions. I'm happy to help, as I said. So,
thank you, Clara. You have broadened my food horizons to no end. Thank you so much. So thank you. And I hope that all of you guys enjoyed the last three episodes all about food as well. If you'd like to hear any of the previous episodes, head over to redextra.ie or any other platform that you listen to your podcasts on. We're there as well. A huge thank you again to Killian Pettit for putting up with my Zoom and my home lockdown podcasts. I know it's just so different to being in the studio. So thank you for your patience, Killian. He has been an absolute rock star. And to Becca Noonan as well at Red FM. So thank you to all the gang at Red FM. I can't wait to see everyone in real life so soon again. I really, really hope that everyone's having a good summer and taking it easy on yourselves. And thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to this Red FM podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and check out redextra.ie for more great Red FM content.